Great segue there, dear.
Thank you.
But it is. It's just then talking about.
Oh, yeah. I missed that connection entirely. Just,
that's okay. I'll bring you guys with me.
Thanks.
I think out there in listener land,
we've had a couple
beers. People are like, wow, that was a nice segue, Jennifer.
Hi there. Welcome to this, the 13th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And I'm Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. What we're going to talk about today is famous MSers, help or hindrance. I.e., does it help our cause, our mission, our lives with multiple sclerosis when famous people are diagnosed with multiple sclerosis? And with us today, as always, is our, we don't have to talk socially distance anymore, podcast producer, Ryan.
It is good because I tend to have a voice that carries a little, so it makes sense that I'm farther away.
You are socially distant.
I am. So is Bean.
I was going to say, if you recall from previous episodes, Bean the cat.
I've handed off
the care of Bean to us.
And if I sound distracted, it is because there is a bean in the house, and I'm mesmerized.
You're looking at me, but I can tell you're distant. You're like just totally just saying, like, "Where's the
what's
cat?
What's he doing? What's he doing?
Is he gonna come? I don't want to miss him.
I don't want to miss it.
He went into the bathroom.
Okay, so he needs his moment. Mm-hmm. I understand. I'm respecting Bean's privacy. Sorry, I let you go.
Earlier in August, Christina Applegate, the actress, had talked about and disclosed that she had been diagnosed with MS. And so we'll talk about this in terms of what does that look like for us then when we're living with MS and somebody in the limelight gets diagnosed and is living with our similar realities. So that's it. I set it up and we'll get there. But first, we need to catch up because it's been a month.
Yeah.
It's been forever. It's been a month. I've missed you, man.
Yeah, it's been a bit. It's good to have a sit and have a beer.
Exactly, just to chill. I mean, it's hot. I mean, these are dog days of summer, and this is.
Yeah, it's been good though. Like I had mentioned to you guys, I'm sort of on like a. I've been taking me time for myself, usually in the morning or in the afternoon or both, where I just like okay, I'm working on enough stuff. My brain is getting frazzled. Like even between in the month that since we talked, like I told the podcast that my plan was to use a SUV as like a micro camper and go across the country for a little while, but it turns out cancer has different plans, so I'm kind of going to remain in town, but I'm still handing off Bean because I feel like I haven't been paying him the right attention, and eventually I'll move, and I keep moving him, so like I want him to be like stable.
Well, and you're dealing with so much else right now, and it's just to breathe and truly have Ryan time.
Yeah, and I do like the little dude, like, when he talks to me, because I'll be like, hey, Bean, what's going on? And he'll go, meow. I'm like, oh, cool, I didn't hear that. What do you think about this thing? Meow. That's what I thought, too. Like, he'll run with you a couple of times on stuff like that, and it's pretty great. But I've been walking to maintain sanity, basically, and in the process also losing a bit of weight, which is nice. And for a while, it was just me all by myself. And then when it started getting warm, but not too warm, then there were people everywhere. And I was like, ah, crap. And then when it gets hot again, everybody vanishes. And I'm like, cool, I'm out back here by myself. I just like being by myself out in the woods.
Oh, man. It's a little escape for you.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Well, just to breathe and just to get out and just be there. I mean, do you find yourself... You think more clearly then?
Oh, absolutely. Or? In light of like hanging out with my grandma more, a thing she did was she used to journal every day. Working at the newspapers and stuff, I always had a notebook in my back pocket. And like just as a kid, I wrote all the time too. And then somewhere in the last couple of years, I sort of stopped doing that. Yeah.
Again, I'm mesmerized by
the cat's here. Okay. So I think it'll just be you and me today, Ryan. Okay,
no, I'm fine. Here.
Yeah. I've gotten in the habit of listening to audiobooks before I go to sleep.
Okay.
And so I actually then last night, because you talk about like the journaling and writing stuff down, I downloaded Matthew McConaughey's audiobook, Greenlight. Mm-hmm. oh my God, his command of the language and just, reads quickly. He reads so fast. And I'm thinking, dude, I'm trying to sleep, but it was so smart. But he's just talking about how that's his thing, is he has journals that he's for years kept a journal. And so it was just like, and he went back through it to pull this book together. And it's just mesmerizing. Yeah. So journal away, my friend.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting you were talking about journaling, and that's something that I don't know if ambivalent is the right word.
Because you used to journal all the time.
I used to, but as my MS has gotten a little worse, I don't like the quality of my handwriting, and that's silly, but when I'm writing something, and if it looks like a messy, you know, I just won't do it, or if it's difficult, which that goes against everything that an occupational therapist or a physical therapist would tell you. But if it's difficult, or if I smudge, because I love my blue pens, but they're smeary. Mm-hmm. And so I don't do it as much. And in honor of you, Ryan, I should try to journal more.
Yeah. Especially now with like voice recognition software is so much better than it used to be. Even a couple years ago, instead of writing it down, audio journals, still a journal. So you could just say what you're thinking.
That's interesting. I don't know if I'm the only one. Please tell me I'm not the only one. Where you're doing something and you don't do it the way you used to do it. So you're like, oh, forget that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, you're just like, but then I think about audio journals and I think of Doogie Howser, MD. Dating myself, but Doogie Howser, and he used to type in his journal about what happened on his desktop computer. There again, dating myself.
Wasn't that like an Apple, like a huge Apple IIe?
Like a big Apple. Oh, man. Yes. Did you watch Doogie, Dan?
I didn't.
Oh, you missed out, man.
Man, missed out.
Blasphemy. Oh.
That was,
I didn't. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Should I binge it? Is it on Netflix?
I doubt it.
It probably doesn't hold up, I would imagine. Probably. But
I think it's interesting. That's something we should do sometimes, like our favorite show when we were growing up.
Mm.
See if it's on Netflix and watch it.
And does it hold up?
Does it hold up?
Kind of like movies?
Well, talking about old episodes, we can binge Married with Children and see a young Kelly Bundy. And I think out there in listener land, people are like, wow, that was a nice segue, Jennifer. Go on a break and come back and tell us more about celebrities with multiple sclerosis. Is that a help or a hindrance? As Dan had alluded to earlier in August, actress Christina Applegate disclosed that she had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. In fact, I was so inspired that Kelly Bundy has the MS. I wrote a blog post that's on our website, and I just, oh no, Kelly Bundy has the MS, and I felt sorry for her. And I just wondered, you know, because she's the latest in a long line of celebrities diagnosed with MS. And I thought, is that a help or a hindrance? And so.
Well, and I think that was, because I remember when that happened, because we were getting ready to go somewhere on a Saturday morning. It's like, and I'm looking and just my jaw drops. And just to where it's on, saw it on Twitter, you know, that Christine Applegate, you know, discloses she has MS. And you're like, you're freaking out because my jaw's dropped and stuff. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, and I show you. And yeah, and you were, I mean, truly that night you had an essay written. And it's disturbing. I think it's just that it wasn't like just some random celebrity, if I may call them random celebrities, but just, I mean, this was somebody that, you know, we grew up with, as we talked before, Christina Applegate. And then we were waiting for season 3 of Dead to Me to come out on Netflix. So this is like somebody we know not like BFFs, but I mean, that's somebody, but it's just like, and she's diagnosed with MS, and you do. I mean, Jennifer, you had commented just, you felt sad.
You do. And when someone tells you that their child or coworker or someone they know has been diagnosed with MS, my initial reaction is always like, oh, that's too bad. I'm like, why do you feel sorry for them, but you don't feel sorry for yourself? For God's sakes, you've been living with the MS for over 20 years and your husband's living with MS. But your initial response is to feel sorry for him.
Well, I mean, it's not a prize, right?
No, it's not.
And you, I mean, you more than anyone kind of know what they could possibly be looking at.
Yeah. That's true. And I don't want to make people think like, oh my goodness, you are going to be diagnosed with the worst thing on earth. That's not my intent. And so, do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally. But it is. It's like it's
empathy.
Yeah.
Empathy. Okay.
Well, and you feel like you're not, like I say, not BFFs with them, but you know them because you followed them for so long and you appreciate, you respect them as stars, as actors, actresses. And that's where we had then just kind of went through the, just a quick list of all of the famous people who were living with multiple sclerosis. I mean, and we won't go into like specifics on all of them. If you don't know who they are, you can Google them, right?
Yeah, there's some people on this list I don't know.
I mean, I kind of threw them out, but I mean, you're talking like, you know, Jack Osborne, Selma Blair, and Jamie Lynn Sigler. And I mean, so, I mean, we can...
Oh, Terry Garr, yeah. Oh, yeah, we mentioned her previously, hadn't we?
Yeah, and Clay Walker. And I mean, I always thought like, you know, Stan Belinda was a pitcher in the major leagues and... You know, just the ton of people. I mean, Montel Williams, David Lander, Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, help me, Jennifer. I mean, Janice Dean. I mean, then you're...
Dean from Fox News, the weather.
Dean, the weather machine.
Exactly, Janice Dean, the weather machine.
Well, and then throwing out, you're talking Fox News. I mean, Neil Cavuto, reporter Cavuto on Fox. And then Alan and David Osmond. I mean, we've seen David Osmond and artist and Tyler Campbell. I mean, we just featured him on our 7 questions with a camp or with a couple,
right,
on our blog.
And then the lead singer of the band Everclear, which was, if you were into 90s music, good times, got you through some good stuff. So. See, again, that was sad, but he's doing well. And all these celebrities that have been diagnosed, I mean, it's a help that famous people are diagnosed with the disease because it draws attention and increases awareness.
Yeah.
And we had talked earlier on, you know, just with Clay Walker, when, you know, country singer, when he was diagnosed. This was back in the day when I listened to country, and I didn't know anything about MS. And it was just like, oh my God. And I loved Clay Walker. And you're just like, oh my God. And so with every new album, I kept thinking, oh, that's cool, because he's not dead yet.
Yeah.
Because you don't know anything about the disease. And now he's, you know, dynamo within the MS community and still, you know, still releasing albums and still performing and still doing his thing because he's incredible. So then it's the question, when you have famous people get diagnosed with the disease, does that help or hinder our cause as somebody who's living with the disease? And I mean, on the one hand, it helps. How does it help? I mean, obviously, I think it increases the awareness of the disease.
Yeah, and probably funding. I mean, if they're famous enough to be rich, then, you know, they have self-interest to throw money at research.
Well, in the case of David Osmond and his dad, Alan, then you're getting at the core of that question. Is it genetic? Is it hereditary? Oh, yeah. So that way it spotlights, you know, these are famous people, a father and a son who have multiple sclerosis. And then, you know, with Grant Hill, the basketball player, his wife, Tamia, I believe that's how to say it, and I apologize if I murdered it. She's also living with MS. And then you can look at that in Montel Williams, Tyler Campbell, just the different factors, and then women versus men. I mean, there's so many interesting things. And even, you know, with when people are diagnosed in their life, I mean, Christina Applegate, she's older.
Yeah.
Most people are diagnosed, they say, between 20 and 40. Mm-hmm. Christina Applegate's a little older, 49.
Oh.
So what genetic factors or...
Or maybe she just didn't notice the symptoms as... She thought it was just getting old or something?
That's a good point. And you can explain away things for so long, yeah. But then when it gets where it gets, you can't ignore it. And so I think it's good, but at the same time, it can be a little bit of a hindrance. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but... Just,
it can be a distraction, I could see that, yeah.
And people, I often tell Dan that multiple sclerosis is a snowflake disease and not in the negative, like, oh, people that have MS.
Yeah.
But it's just no two cases are the same. I mean, look at Dan and me. We've each been diagnosed over 20 years and Dan's still walking and I'm in a wheelchair and I have been for quite some time. And so it treats everyone differently. Yeah. So when someone is famous and they're out there doing really well and, well, if blah, blah, blah has MS and can do this, why can't you?
It's like they also have a lot of money.
Yeah. And they have access to really good doctors. There you go.
That's what because like one of the Koch brothers, like the, however, whatever moral judgments you want to make on them, whatever version of cancer, the one that died... had it might have been pancreatic or something, but like, or maybe it was colon cancer, I don't remember, but anyway, that dude was going to die and he still was funneling so much money into research to try and prolong his own life. So he's doing it sort of, you know, selfishly, but other people benefit from his assets basically. And it's like, yeah, if Jeff Bezos got MS, it was like, I wonder how long before MS would be cured.
And my celebrity was Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
You know, sadly, I would never wish this disease on anyone. But, you know, it is increasing awareness. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just looking then, because as we're talking, and maybe Danny completely to the party, but, you know, as we're talking about this, but it is in terms of increasing awareness. And I think then lending star power to fundraising benefits, to things to where it draws people in. I think when we would watch something with David Osmond as the MC, you know, drawing in things, we watched then, or we were part of something with the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America, their virtual fundraiser and Tyler Campbell was the MC. And so that just like generates that interest and it drives people. And I think it normalizes the disease as you can normalize a chronic disease of the central nervous system, but just to where you see everybody gets it. It's not just Dan and Jennifer and people. And so, but it's like with then speaking of the MSAA fundraiser, there was one of the things was in the silent auction, something where you could have like really a live like interaction virtual meeting with Selma Blair.
Oh, cool.
You would get like sneak preview to the trailer of there's a documentary coming up. I mean, we say coming up because this is, you know, we're recording this at the end of August, but on October 15th, the documentary Introducing Selma Blair, and it will become available on Discovery Plus streaming service on October 21st, and just chronicling her life with MS. And that's great. That's great, period. But then don't get me wrong. I mean, what image of the disease is being promoted, and do people make it look worse than we want it to, or do they make it look better? Like it's a cakewalk or it's the worst thing ever?
That's a good question.
As a reporter once.
That's true. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't want people to show only the bad stuff. And I also don't want people, I don't think people can be happy. You know, and you portray it in the way it is for Selma Blair, for example, or for Christina Applegate. and me having to call Bullstein and say, no, it's way harder than that, or no, it's way easier than that. It's like every person has their own story to tell. But just to get that awareness out, like Ryan, and like you said, Dan, just to take people where they're at. And maybe that's a 2021 societal message. It's just take and accept people where they are.
Are any of the like famous people that you know that have MS, are any of them have secondary progressive or whatever? Like, are they in a wheelchair or headed, you know, possibly in that direction?
Well, I think Terry Garr, you know, she was diagnosed in the 80s. I don't know that I've necessarily heard how she's doing now, but just with the number of years, she may have progressed a little. I don't know. That's a really good question, Ryan. And if you were diagnosed with a progressive disease, would you want people to photograph
that's
you?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, maybe that's the problem, is the only celebrities that get it and come forward have like relapsing, remitting or something, where they're like, okay, you'll probably be able to walk and be fine. So like movie wise, you'll be fine. Stay public. But maybe some have gotten secondary progressive and there's like, okay, yeah, just pull back, retire, you're done. Like, don't ruin your image or whatever. Maybe that's some stupid Hollywood thing like that.
Well, is that kind of like an Annette Funicello, the Mouseketeer? I mean, yeah. Back in the day when we were first diagnosed, that was like, oh my God, Annette's got it. And I do. I think it's just like they fade.
Yeah.
For better or worse, maybe it's just like people don't want to pay attention to it. Maybe they're pushing it, but people are just like, this is.
And also, celebrities just fade out of existence. Just out of everyday occurrences.
Well, where you need to keep it quiet, or you have to keep it quiet, because once you come out with, and that's where, you know, with Selma Blair, with all of the once huge actors, actresses to be vocal, good for them. But at the same time, what risk does that paint? And can you play any other character in a TV show, in a movie, that's not somebody who's has a noticeable disability or noticeable thing? Can you get roles as just a quote unquote non-MS person?
Yeah, that's interesting. And could you suspend your disbelief? Could you see Christina Applegate if she was using a cane and just see her as a normal person? Or would you say, oh, that's not the Christina Applegate that I'm used to, and you can't get over it? So I can see that being a fear, and then there you feel like you, and not that you own these celebrities, but like you said, that you know these celebrities. So if Christina Applegate gets worse, well, maybe she's not taking medicine, or maybe she's still living a bad lifestyle, or she needs to get more rest, or you feel that you have some claim on how she's doing.
Yeah. And when you read into things, and that's where I'll step away from the MS world. But like, you know, when I was going to suggest then, you know, with Michael J. Fox, with Parkinson's and everything, and just how he is such a vocal advocate for, you know, Parkinson's and the cause. And we watched something on Netflix, as we talked about that earlier, but just how the making of the movie Back to the Future, and then they were talking about how, I think it was like come Back to the Future 3, and then they were showing clips where he was limping, or, you know, running with a limp.
Oh, really?
But that was long before he had, you know, said that. But it's just like, nobody noticed, nobody said anything, because he hadn't come forward. And so it was just kind of a thing. He just did it. But if people knew he had Parkinson's and saw him running with a slight limp, would they say this is?
Yeah, because he was on, what was that, Spin City.
Spin City, yeah.
And he had been diagnosed but didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Like, he would say, you know, like when he felt a shake coming on, he would just use it in character, like he'd pick up a mug or something and do something with his hand, so like it was less noticeable. But it's like, yeah, so like he didn't tell the world he was suffering.
And then I was reading something from Jamie Lynn Sigler, who is the actress that was on Sopranos, the television show. And she was talking.
So pretty.
She was Meadow, exactly. And on the last episode of Sopranos, that there was a scene where she ran to the restaurant for the closing scene. Yeah. And she said that pretty much that was the last time she has run.
Oh,
that was right, kind of coincides with her MS diagnosis. And I just think that's interesting that you were talking about running with Michael J. Fox and then Jamie Lynn talking about running as well. That just how these neurologic diseases affect our abilities and just to do simple things like running.
Exactly. And like with Michael J. Fox and just picking up a cup, picking up a paper to hide it. And it's like, how many times have, and I've talked about just the things you do to cover up things with MS. So it's like, if I didn't talk about it on our podcast, I certainly have written about it. But it's like, back in the day when you're working in the office and I had to go to the bathroom or something and you're talking to people, bladder issues and MS, but it's just like, so then all of a sudden I'm sitting down to quote unquote tie my shoe because it's just like sitting down can help control it a little better. Okay. So that all you're doing is it's like, oh, my shoe's untied. Let me sit down.
Mm-hmm. If you had to walk somewhere and you were getting tired and you didn't really want to make a scene about it,
that's it.
You would just be like, oh, let me stop and tie my shoe really quick.
Yeah, because nobody flinches. Nobody suspects anything if you're tying your shoe.
Yeah.
But, damn it all, if you've got the MS and you have to stop, Digma's not doing too well today. And it's just like, it's a temporary thing. So you cover it up. But then it's just like, how authentic is that? Well, I'm not necessarily lying, but it's just like, you don't want to be pigeonholed or whatever to say, oh, well, Dan's getting worse. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's just, with MS, with things that the way things cycle through, it's just like, I was tired. It wasn't a good day, but tomorrow I could do no problem. So yeah, it's just like, what's the authentic image that we're putting up there with famous people? But I don't know.
So I want to ask you this, if there was going to be a movie, maybe not necessarily about your life, but about MS, and if they were telling like the Jen story and making a movie, like if Christina Applegate has relapsing remitting or something, but she was going to play someone like in a wheelchair, would that bug you? Do you want the actress to have the total idea, or do you want the writer to have the total idea? Like, where do you think?
That is such a good question, Ryan.
He was a reporter once.
I am surrounded by brilliance. When I was in
Beans in here somewhere.
When I was in graduate school, I looked at everything through the lens of disability.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did, and I had a hard time accepting able-bodied actors playing people using mobility aids or using wheelchairs, scooters, anything. I'm like, no, they don't know what it's like. They can't really act. And then it dawned on me, Jennifer, that's why they call it acting.
Yeah.
So if Christina Applegate used a wheelchair for a character, I think that would be a fair representation. It would be unfortunate. I have crappy days. I will admit that.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm very woe is me and I'm downtrodden and, but I have days and I can't live there like that. It's a place to visit every once in a while, but I can't live there. So I would hope that whoever would make a movie wouldn't allow, or Christina or Selma Blair acting, they wouldn't want to portray a character that was all slumped over in a wheelchair and life is over because of multiple sclerosis.
Hmm. But I mean, if them showing the good and the bad, like if it's telling the whole story.
Yeah, because for some people that is their reality. Yeah. And that's where I can't be like Pollyanna and just say, no, you have to buck up, camper, and smile pretty for the camera. If you're having crappy days, and that's, again, going back to that snowflake analogy, you just have to accept that for every person it's different.
And did we address then when it's bad, and I think it is. It's just the notion of like, oh, well, they have all the doctors, they have all this, they have all that, and it's just like, but at the same time, they're still living with the disease. And I mean, sometimes it's not, there isn't any medicine, there isn't any treatment that's going to reverse this. I mean, the MS is going to do what it wants. It doesn't matter if you're famous and have all the money in the world or you're Dan Digman, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I feel bad, like Ryan said, empathy for people when they're diagnosed, but at the same time, that raising awareness, I look forward to that because every ounce of star power.
Yeah.
Put up or shut up, then celebrities getting diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, for everybody in the MS community, is that a help or a hindrance? Jennifer.
I think it's a help.
I echo you. Ryan, for
yeah,
you.
I think overall, yeah. Like it's going to do more positive than negative. Because, I mean, like you said with Christina Applegate, it's like it's someone you know, someone both of us probably had a crush on at one point, and then as she got older, I said she started looking like my sister, so I went, nope, goodbye. But on Married with Children, absolutely Kelly Bundy, huge crush. I'm not a huge fan of hers, but there have to be people that are. And so, you know, those people might go, well, what can I help? Is there something I can do? Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. I like this person. They've entertained me. You know, even when it comes to like, I have, you know, $100 extra this year for charity.
That would be good. And I think they can be helpful because, oh, look at Selma Blair. She's doing this amazing treatment. I'm going to investigate. Or Jack Osborne. He is pushing himself and he's doing this. And he's living with MS. That's going to inspire me maybe to follow a better diet or a better exercise plan. So I think it can be helpful. And I can see moments where it is a hindrance. But if you look at the big picture, I'm with you, Dan and Ryan. Yeah. I think it is helpful.
Yep. Awareness is awareness.
Amen. It was absolutely. Well then, so we'll step away for a second. We will come back then for this episode's installment of Moments of Joy. We'll be right back. So here we are in the 13th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. We're looking for Moments of Joy. Really quick, Jennifer, then. What is your moment of joy?
My moment of joy happened today. I have a goddaughter, beautiful goddaughter, Anna Michelle. And she wanted, which I don't understand. I love her, but she wanted one of those pop socket or pop, whatever. It's a big plastic pop thing. I will link to it on our post show. I have a picture, but I got a picture in the... She wanted this pop thing that had like 400 poppets. I think that's what they're called.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I have zero idea what you're talking about.
It's like a fidget thing that kids these days are doing. And she wanted a 400. And I actually got to see her when we were back in Indiana a few weeks ago. And she told me that she wanted that for her birthday. And I remembered and I bought it for her.
Nice.
And so she sent me a picture, or her mom sent me a picture of them all playing with this pop thing. Mm-hmm. And it made me so giddy. And she was wearing the t-shirt because I got her a really cool t-shirt, if I can say that myself. Mm-hmm. And just about it being her 10th birthday, 10 years of awesomeness. Because yes, Anna is awesome and we've been blessed with 10 years of awesomeness. So that is my moment of joy.
Nice. Is this like a rubber sheet with the little bubbles you press?
Yes.
Okay, I have seen those. All right.
Yep, and it was purple and beautiful. So that was my moment of joy.
You were so proud when you found that.
400, wowza.
400. Yes, and she needed that. I checked with her mom first, like, will this drive you nuts? And she said, nope, go ahead. And so. Spoil my goddaughter, Dan, and I will.
That's fun.
Yeah.
How about you?
It wasn't entirely a moment of joy when it happened, but the story makes me laugh because, as Dan and I said, like, we are storytellers. I'm coming to grips with that more and more as I get older. I realize that I tell stories that like in the middle of it, I'm like, I could have said one sentence and illustrated this entire point, but we're on a 10-minute journey, so let's just go. And my friends are tiring of it. I can absolutely tell this. But I sold my car, but the guy gave me cash, and it was $1,000 in $20 bills.
Dang. That's pretty awesome.
So I had the roll of bills, just like this huge thing. And I thought, if I was like, I legitimately thought, like, I'm going to throw it on the bed and just roll around in it. But then I'm like, oh, wait, no, COVID. No, not going to do that. And so I instantly just like in the ATM, wash hands. But like I had like a gangster roll for about an hour and a half. So Dan, do you have a moment of joy?
I do.
Okay.
I don't remember the specific date, Jennifer. Maybe you could help me with it. But it was, and I don't know if you saw it, Ryan, but it was the Field of Dreams game.
Oh, yeah.
That was in Iowa at the Field of Dreams, Yankees. Oh, I didn't see that. Yankees, White Sox. And just today, I talked to my dad, and this was the first time I talked to dad since said game. But it was just, I mean, such a magnificent moment. Because that, you know, it's in Dyersville, Iowa, which was where my dad grew up. It was like a half hour from where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and then when you see all of the analysis of the game and just all of these people in like pregame with A-Rod and David Ortiz and stuff, everyone just talking. I mean, Jennifer knows that movie makes me cry every time.
Oh, yeah.
Those are moments. And it's just like, and when they had the players come on the field, the intros, just waterworks, and just yeah. that it was the most magnificent thing, because Jennifer had gotten a buffalo chicken pizza and dip, you know, and with chips, you know, what was it, like this jalapeno dip, mm-hmm. with taco chips, and just that's what we did. We had the pizza and the nachos and beer, watching the baseball game, sobbing. I didn't sob, but that's just that storytelling, right? Yeah. And then to talk to dad today, and just that he was just as taken with the game as I was, and just you couldn't have written a better ending for that game. So that was my moment of joy. I mean, just that it's that lives on to this day, and it'll go forever. And just that there, next year we'll have the Cubs and the Reds playing at another game, and what a great thing for Iowa.
That's fun.
My home state and Dyersville.
Yeah, and they're doing a TV show, I think, of Field of Dreams. They're gonna try and make it, or not, well, yeah, like a serial show. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
See. So that was my moment of joy, is just
that's
that.
That's
that
a really game. Good moment.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So nice. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about on future episodes.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me, Ryan. The producer is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.
Talking about old episodes, we could binge Married with Children and see a young Kelly Bundy and
young Ed O'Neill.
Yes, a young Al Bundy.
And what's her name?
Katie Sagal.
Katie Sagal. Oh, yeah. Oh, such a crush on her when I was a kid.
What is it about the redheads with you men?
It's because she was saucy. I mean, the redhead was one thing, but it's because she was saucy.
See, so we should. So with that, I mean, because that great segue there, dear.
Thank you.
But it is. It's just then talking about, you know, just Kelly Bundy, you know, and who would have thought, you know, with
I missed that connection entirely.
That's okay. I'll bring you guys with me.
Thanks.
I think out there in listener land, people are like, wow, that was a nice segue, Jennifer. Go on a break and come back and tell us more about celebrities. with multiple sclerosis. Is that a help or a hindrance? I'll be driving the show again.
Okay, yeah.
No problem.
Right. It's all you.
Nope. Yeah, we're done talking now. She did that part. We're going into a break. She did it. It was perfect.
Big love.
Yep.
You're welcome.
That was like, I completely missed how perfect that was. I was like, you nailed that. And we're both over here like, so dumb. Holy crap.
You bring us back to speed there, dear.
Oh, man. Back to speed, right. No. She's speeding along, and we're on the side of the highway.
Well, you talked redheads. Come on.
Yeah, well, that's true.